It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. A number of people contacting us to say congratulations to Jack Luncheon Yimwuri. Amazing, Jack. Audrey Boner, well done. Laura Deehan, well done, Jack, from Mammy and all the girls in Katrina's hair salon. And indeed, we have had a message here to say well done, Jack, and also belated happy birthday to Jack and to Mammy Laura, whose birthday is today. Well done to her from taking him to all his practices and his competitions. Keep up the hard work, Jack. And Laura, happy birthday to you. Belated happy birthday to Jack and happy birthday to Laura as well. And also Laura Duddy there, a superstar, Jack. And again, Tracy, well done, boys. Now, we are going to go to one or two comments before we go to our Wellness Wednesday slot. Caller says the reason for house prices going up is inflation and the influx of immigrants in the I'm not sure there is any evidence whatsoever to back that that has any impact on house prices to any huge extent. Let's go to Wellness Wednesday, shall we? We'll go to Wellness Wednesday. Now we are going to go to Zoom, and we are joined on Zoom by Linda Duffy. And Linda is a rapid transformational therapist and mindset coach. Now, I know that sounds like a little bit of a mouthful, but it's an important one. What Linda effectively does is provide a method into the subconscious mind to get to the root cause of certain beliefs about people. And these beliefs play out into adulthood through eating disorders, anxiety and addiction. Neuro-linguistic program relax the neural pathways between the mind and body. Hydrotherapy is where you relax the body. And Linda joins us on Zoom. Linda, a very good morning to you.
Very good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, rapid transformational therapist, looking at neuro-linguistic programming, there are two very big mouthfuls. Can we break it down into bite-sized chunks and explain to us what they are?
Exactly. So rapid transformational therapy, RTT for short, combines the most beneficial principles of cognitive behavioral therapy, psychotherapy, neuroscience, and hypnotherapy. I'm breaking that down to simple English. That means RTT focuses on our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and what's at the root cause of our issues and what's the purpose it's playing in our lives. So let's say, for example, let's say somebody has tried to give up a negative habit, whether that's smoking or drinking or anxiety or binge eating. And we experience this cycle of stopping and starting. So we might do good for, if we're lucky, a few weeks, and then we'll fall back into our old habits. And we might start our Monday mornings thinking or saying to ourselves, you know, this week I'll be good and this week I'll be strong. And this is the week now I'm going to crack it for good, which is what I had done for years. So even though we might have, you know, phenomenal willpower and the logic behind it, and that's of the conscious mind, it's the subconscious mind that is really in control of change, but we don't know how to use it. So RTT allows us to access the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is which holds all of our emotions, our beliefs, our patterns. And that's where we operate from 95% of the time. So that means 95% of the time, our thoughts and our feelings and our actions are running on autopilot. But the mistake that most of us make is that we're using 5% of our mind, which is our conscious mind, our logical mind, our present mind. And we're trying to change those habits. And when they don't work, then we're questioning, well, why is it not working? Because I have the logic and the drive behind it.
And part of the problem is you have logic and drive, but you also have this voice in your head, this force within your own mind that's undermining the logic. And the brain is almost listening more to the undermining voice than it is to the actual logic. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a really good point. And that's where RTT kind of really excels, because we all have negative self-talk. It's just some of us are better at managing it than others. So if we have a belief that's a self-belief that's maybe around that I'm not feeling good enough, or I'm not lovable, or maybe I don't matter, or maybe we might feel like something is our fault. And those kind of beliefs are mainly formed in our childhood, teenage years. And those beliefs will show up in our adulthood as anxiety, as imposter syndrome, as substance abuse, as low confidence. We might be always chasing the wrong partner, or we might go into low mood, because we'll turn to something as a coping mechanism. We'll turn to something that gives us this instant relief, that gives us a sense of, sometimes for some people it's escaping reality or having a sense of predictability, particularly around anxiety, even though it's unhelpful too. It gives us a sense of predictability, it's a feeling of familiar. because a lot of the time it's much easier for us to eat our feelings or drink our feelings or sabotage our feelings and suppress them than actually have to deal with them, to talk about them, to really kind of take them head on, because we're just so terrified of rejection for the most part.
You're coming at this from a point of experience, because obviously you're outlining the psychology behind the therapy, and you're outlining the meaning behind it and the logic and the science behind it. But you can also do so from the point of view of someone who has been through the experience that your clients are going through.
Yeah, so I had a 2-decade eating disorder, a binge eating disorder, and I also used to restrict quite heavily, but most people didn't know because I was always balancing out my weight by restricting and then overeating. And like most of the clients that I work with, I never really felt that I had any kind of trauma, because I always thought trauma was physical abuse or sexual abuse or emotional abuse or death or illness. But I never realized trauma is just something that we experienced when we were younger, or maybe something that was said to us.
Yeah. And from that point of view, when you went to get treatment, you were brought through this process of transformational therapy, and you came out the other side. You then trained yourself.
Yeah. So I went through quite a lot of therapy over the years. And for me, the route I took was typically talk therapy, which is fantastic for some people. But for me, it wasn't what I needed. I knew I wanted to change. I just didn't know how to. So I wanted something that was very solution based. And it was by luck that I fell upon RTT when I was on one of another self-development courses, as you do when you're in times of need, you'll try anything. And it just completely changed my life. But in more ways than just the eating disorder, it really kind of opened my eyes to the negative self-talk, how I was viewing the world, why I was always looking for validation, why I was really living in that world where we do seek the external validation, the social acceptance. And I was looking for other people to make me happy or to validate me instead of actually, do you know what? You can validate yourself. You don't need other people to make you feel good enough. You can do it yourself. I just didn't know how to.
And that brings in the question then, the converse to your need for validation is there can be triggers then which actually have a negative impact. And we've had a caller ask, you know, have you seen a negative impact from TikTok? Apparently, now there was something doing the rounds on TikTok called a leggings legs trend. And I will be absolutely honest, I don't quite get what this is, but there was a massive thigh gap. Now, I presume that's something to do with pictures taken of people who had maybe there was, I don't quite know what that is, but I mean, in terms of the general TikTok, you know, things like that, you know, you get these trends on TikTok where people make comments on appearances or whatever. I mean, that I presume can also, rather than validate you, and sometimes we're a lot quicker to listen to the negative than we are to listen to the positive validation. So are things like TikTok a major issue?
100%. All social, in my opinion, all social media is a trigger for most of us, you know, and you mentioned a good point there where, excuse me, it's more about, you know, understanding what your triggers are. Who are your triggers? You know, if you're looking at something on social media and you don't feel good, why are you continuing to look at it? You know, it's kind of, if you're going to put your energy out somewhere, well, put it out to a place where you're actually going to feel good after it. You know, and that comes from really, if you come from a place where you self-love, and I know that's a term that's thrown around an awful lot nowadays, but it really does affect how you talk to yourself, because we get, I think it's somewhere in between 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day.
Yeah.
80% of those are negative.
Yeah. I
70%
wonder,
are repetitive.
Yeah.
So if we continuously have this negative talk, we are telling our mind a narrative. Our mind just hears it. It doesn't know if it's real, false, right or wrong. It just believes it. And then it'll throw out certain experiences within our life or certain effects on our body because it sees it to be true. So you have to be able to change the negative talk.
I sometimes wonder, would it be better if we change the phrase self-love to self-belief? Because, you know, it isn't, you know, that if we believe in ourselves, then that's going to be half the battle. Because, you know, when you get a reinforcing comment or someone says that looks good or someone says, you know, the automatic response is no, it doesn't. No, I'm not. So maybe self-belief is as important.
Yeah, self-belief, self-love, all of those. Yeah. So anything that makes you feel lovable, anything that makes you feel good enough, that makes you feel significant, that makes you feel worthy, that's all combined into, let's say, let's call it our overall well-being, right, in terms of our mindset. So if you can focus on those things, but the more important part is if you have that negative belief, you have to understand where it comes from. So for me, and for most people, like, we're smart people, we know that we shouldn't be talking negatively to ourselves. Where the gap is how do you go from knowing that you shouldn't be doing it to how do you actually change it? That for me was a game changer.
From the point of view of the therapist, are you telling your client how to change, or are you facilitating your client in discovering it for themselves?
So what we do first of all is we access the subconscious mind, and that's just getting them into a relaxed state where their nervous system is calm. What we'll do is we'll go back to past events. It's called regression. We'll go back to past events that identify with the same feeling of whether that's feeling not good enough, whether that's feeling not significant, worthy, whatever. It depends on the person, right? But we'll go back to that feeling. And it's sometimes having an understanding of where they developed or how they developed and when they don't develop those self-beliefs. That's enough sometimes for somebody to change. For me, that was enough, right? My second session when I was doing RTT was on my self-belief, right? That didn't happen overnight. My low self-esteem, that took about 2 months for really to get to a point where I was really happy with myself. I wasn't comparing myself to other people. I wasn't looking for validation. I was just happy with who I was, and I was comfortable with what I needed to do to be happy in life or successful in life or whatever we want from life. So for some people, it takes a little bit longer. And how it takes a little bit longer is that we reinforce it through an audio. The audio is specific to the person. Why do we do that? It's because, again, the mind learns by repetition. So you have to be feeding it the right information consistently in repetition. But what we tend to do is we want a magic pill and we try something for 2 weeks and, you know, we want to see the changes straight away. But you have to give it time and you have to give it the consistent messages that you want to play out in your life. If you want to feel positive, then you have to be talking positive.
Yeah. A caller is asking, it's an interesting situation here. How can I support my daughter who was really worried about her weight? Easter is hard and she's refusing to receive any Easter eggs. Now, I mean, that might be some people just won't eat chocolate. Some people, it doesn't necessarily point to a problem per se, but I can see that the concern in a parent there who is saying, look, my daughter is expressing concern and I'm worried. How does a parent know what's, you know, How can I put this? How does a parent know what's an indication that perhaps we're going down the area of a disorder?
Good question. So the first thing I would say from a supportive point of view is try not to just focus on the food, okay? Because eating disorders are not about food. They're about the feeling that we attach to ourselves and how that plays out in terms of control. So talk to them. Ask them about how they're feeling. Ask them, is there something else going on? Ask them look at kind of their patterns, you know, if they're avoiding food or if they're eating less. Maybe they have grown up in an environment where, you know, they were focused on the body shape and their eating habits, right? So kind of see what's kind of, again, in terms of social media, what are they consuming, you know? So it's more kind of don't focus on the food, focus on the feeling. See how you can support them from that point of view. How are you feeling about yourself? Because it's never about the food. Nobody I've ever worked with that I've helped overcome an eating disorder, it has never, ever been about the food. It's about the feelings they have towards themselves.
Another caller is asking, do you work with adults with autism, ADHD or Tourette's?
I've worked with somebody with Tourette's. I haven't worked with anybody with the other two, no. But there is people that do it. Me, personally, I haven't.
Yeah. I mean, is it now, I know there's going to be perhaps differences in that, you know, some conditions are based on neural divergences and, you know, brains being, and I hate using glib phrases, but the essence of a neurodivergent condition is that the brain is going to be, to put it bluntly and sort of badly, wired differently, whereas you're not necessarily speaking about, you know, the psychological response to a past trauma. You're maybe talking about something that's more scientific in terms of the way the brain is wired. So there's going to be perhaps subtle differences between the two.
Yeah, and from an RTT's perspective, the only type of people that we wouldn't work with are people who have been diagnosed with psychosis and schizophrenia.
Yeah. It's been a very interesting discussion, Linda. I mean, are you? I presume that there's other therapists offering the same service. You're based in Galway, if I'm correct. I'm sure there's other RTT therapists around.
Yeah, there's RTT therapists throughout Ireland. I actually do most of my work is actually through Zoom. I received my own therapy when I was in the Middle East and my therapist was in Europe. So there's plenty of us around. It's just a case of, you know, getting onto Google like most things and seeking us out. And most of us will be on social media, including myself, and you can find us through our website. But yeah, like what I would say to people who do find themselves having challenges, no matter what it is first of all, just be open to change. Recovery is possible. You know, so there's no shame attached to, like, even with myself, like years ago, if somebody had said, oh, an eating disorder is a mental health, you know, disorder, I personally wouldn't have liked that because I didn't know enough about it. But now I understand it. And mental health is just how you're feeling. It's as simple as that. So there's no shame in asking for help, and recovery is possible. And just keep that in the forefront of your mind and just seek help.
Linda Duffy, a licensed RTT practitioner, that's Rapid Transformational Therapy. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our Wellness Wednesday feature there. That was, as we said, that was Linda. That's interesting. You can look up RTT. There'll be local practitioners, or you can go onto Google or go into Facebook and just type in RTT and see what journey that takes you on. Linda's own website is lindaduffy.ie. That's Linda with a Y, L-Y-N-D-A, Duffy.ie, if you want to look more into that. Now, there was a discussion this week about the efficacy of the new deposit return scheme. And a caller says, regarding plastic bottles, I bought a multi-pack of 6 large bottles. I was charged the extra money when I bought them. When I brought them to the recycling centre to get my money back, it wouldn't give me the voucher. Said I was told there was no R on the bottle. I'm now just buying my cans and bottles in the north. It's just another scam tax by the government. It depends on what size the bottles are. My understanding is if the bottles are any larger than a litre, they'll not be included. That's my understanding. Certainly the R return logo should be on cans. Caller says, I've bought different bottles in different places. I couldn't return them. I take it it's old stock, but of course I paid the new price. That should not be the case. If premises had old stock, you should not have been charged new return prices on old stock. That certainly shouldn't have happened. Caller says, I went to Tesco last night. Both machines were out of order. My first experience, it wasn't great. I spoke to a member of staff, said it was a regular issue. Now, I have, and I will say this, I have used the machines in Tesco and Letterkenny on 2 or 3 occasions. And I have to say, every time I went, they worked, and they worked well. And sometimes you have to stick something in twice or 3 times or whatever. But I have found inevitably that the machines did work. So my experience with them was positive. As the old saying goes, your experience may vary, but thanks very much indeed for the content. Business Matters with Chris Ashmore coming up very, very shortly. Before we go to Chris, let's just take one or two comments with regard to the Rafoe Convoy Road. This road is long overdue a major upgrade. The council recently erected some dangerous corner signs at the curvy glen after many accidents. What about the rest of the bad bends? Not forgetting the stretch where there is a 200-foot sheer drop with no barriers. There is a high volume of heavy vehicles on the road. I wonder if there are any immediate plans. Coloras, does anyone test for COVID these days? Thank you, Donald. I think there's possibly 2 answers to that. I think the days of mandatory COVID testing before you do something do appear to be gone. Now, I mean, certainly if I were showing symptoms and I was sneezy and I had feverish and I thought I might have had, I would test myself. You can still buy your kits, obviously, in the pharmacy. You would test yourself if you felt the possibility of it was there. But I'm not aware of anyone now. You know, there was a time, certainly I recall going on holiday. I mean, you know, before you were allowed board a cruise ship, for instance, back in 2022, you had to present a negative test and do the test 32 hours maximum before boarding. So, yeah, but those days are gone. But certainly if someone was, you know, if you were showing symptoms, the responsible thing would be to test yourself. Donald, did you hear about the time a Cadbury's lorry collided with a Lego truck? The roads were chock-a-block. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Chris Ashmore is smiling, though. That's a good sign. Congratulations to Jack from everyone at the Doorway Project after school. Caller says, so Sinn Féin will sort out the defective homes crisis once they're in government. Good luck with that. More chance of Irish unity than Mary Lou and company leading the country. So says a caller. Well, you know, there'll be a general election within a year at absolute outset, and we will see what happens then.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. Now is the time to realise your potential by enrolling on the part-time degree in business. Only 3 years with just 1 evening per week on campus. Open up your future by contacting the faculty office on 9186206 or visit atu.ie today.
Happy Wednesday. And most importantly, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Donal.
All well with yourself, I presume?
Absolutely, yeah. Except and, a bit Baltic out there.
It is a bit Baltic out there, but I see you're wearing your nice Couch to 5K hoodie.
I've warmed up.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure you've been doing all your stretches this morning. Chris, let's talk business. And before we go to the subject of the Business Matters podcast this week, a name that we know well on Highland Radio, a gentleman indeed who's appeared on this programme many times, Brendan Boyle.
Yes, I thought I'd just give us a mention. There was a piece in the Business Post this week. Congressman Brendan Boyle, son of Donegal emigrant, well known to many of the listeners. He's been critical of the US's restrictive immigration policy. And in an article this week, he was pointing out that according to the Department of State data, Ireland is ranked 92nd in terms of visas issued to foreigners in the United States, which may surprise quite a lot of people. And he's pointing out, of course, the close economic relationship between Ireland and the States. And he's questioning this because a lot of Irish people, of course, have done so well in the States over the years. And for us to be so far down, the visas being issued there is certainly something that struck me.
Yes. Yeah, now, when he speaks of visas, he means, obviously, he's speaking about immigration to actually live and work in the US.
Yes,
because, obviously, if you're just visiting, the days of needing visas are gone.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. We often talk about people visiting. I mean, who's coming to this county? There's one Donegal-based hotels booking company, AccuBook, and they're releasing some interesting figures.
Yes, now, this company, they're based in the Donegal Town Enterprise Centre. They have a software, they have a system called Guest Diary, and they've been developing it, and essentially it communicates up-to-the-minute information about which rooms are available and unavailable, and it's used sites like Expedia, Booking.com, Airbnb. So the company going very well, and they've got into the Vietnamese market, where there's a very big expanding tourism industry, and now 10% of their sales, this is a booking company, AccuBook, based, as I say, in Donegal Town. 10% of their sales coming through Vietnamese bookings. So, and they're expecting that that figure will rise to possibly 16%. So going very well indeed. And they employ 16 people at the moment.
That's very interesting indeed. And by dint of pure and utter coincidence, I have a brother who's in Vietnam business at the moment, as it happens. But that is an interesting one indeed. Yeah. I mean, they're always talking about untapped markets. And certainly the Vietnamese tourist market is not a phrase we've heard too often before. So fair play to them for identifying new areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And not unconnected, things that can be done through the wonders of the Internet. There's an online event that's been held this week, and it was basically promoting 100 fully remote job opportunities. There's a company called Autonomy, which is an Irish company. It deals with customer management, but basically they were looking for people to come on board, work with them, and you can do it from home or pretty much anywhere, all remotely. And this has been promoted through a company that's big on community development called growremote.ie, and they foster all that sort of thing. Or you can go to autonomy.com about that as well.
Interesting play on words, that. I mean, autonomy. You know,
yes.
When you look at it, it's an interesting one. The Food Academy program, it's one we've heard of before, Chris, and it's starting to gain pace.
Yes, now this is an annual thing that the Food Academy, look, it's going to try and help develop a food or drink business, a company. Maybe they already have a product, they maybe want to get it trialed and looking to scale up, maybe get into a big multiple retailer. So it's not really suitable for early stage startups. This is for companies who have an established product, and the closing date for entries is Friday the 5th of April, and you can go to the local enterprise website to find out more about that. And mention of which, just while I'm at it, there's the Scala. This is an 11-week accelerator program. This is targeted at startup entrepreneurs who are looking for potentially very fast growth. A lot of support here for this, and the application deadline for that is actually next Thursday,
which is April 4th, and more info there from the local enterprise office or the website.
Yep, local enterprise office, your first port of call for that.
Okay, let's talk about the Business Matters podcast. And you have two guests this week. And we do have two clips, by the way. I can confirm that now. First of all, you've been speaking with the CEO of the Irish League of Credit Unions.
Yes, David Malone, the CEO, chatting to him just to get an overview. Of course, with all the bank branches that have shut, a lot of towns may have and villages may have a credit union, may no longer have a bank. There's been a huge increase in credit union membership, about 3.6 million nationally, and over 120,000 here in Donegal. So, you know, pretty much most households will have somebody in a credit union. So they've filled a gap in the market. And also, they are increasing the amount of loans that they put out, not least because a number of credit unions are now also offering mortgages. And last year, the loans being issued from the members of the Irish League of Credit Unions in Donegal were up about 13% on the previous year. So I spoke to him about the fact that the expansion of services, and in particular the mortgage market, this is bringing in new customers.
Very strong position financially. In the last year, our lending is up over 13%, and that's the same in Donegal. I'm just looking at our 10 credit unions in Donegal. Our lending is up 13%. We have 127,000 members in Donegal. As you rightly say, with 3.6 million nationally. We're actually seeing 1,000 members, new members, joining a credit union every week. Members of the public, regardless of where they live, can have access to the full range of credit union products and services, albeit mortgages, personal loans, current accounts, business loans. And how this legislation is achieving that is that it's allowing credit unions to invest in collaborative initiatives where credit unions can group together, pool their resources and provide back office support services while still retaining that one-to-one relationship with their members and that physical relationship that they have.
And it's really interesting to see the way the credit union is growing at the moment, you know, in terms of the expansion of the loans it's offering. And it's gone way beyond what it used to be, just as sort of the place you went if you wanted a couple of quid to, you know, to buy something for the house. It's become much more than that now.
Absolutely. A full range of services. And the mortgage one's particularly interesting because their rates are very, very competitive. So they're going to get a slice of that market. And we hear about the lack of competition out there. So probably good news for people who are maybe on the hunt for a mortgage.
I was at a show last night in the theatre. It was a charity show. And as I was walking up toward it, I suddenly struck me, oh, I better go get some money because there'll be a collection box. So I better get a couple of quid out just to, you know, so I have something to put into the box. And I went and I took money out. And I think it was the first time I've actually had cash in my wallet. Yes. Since probably last week. I certainly didn't use cash at all over the weekend. Spent quite a lot of money, but didn't use any cash. And that, I suspect, is more and more people's experience now.
Well, this is it. And, you know, this whole trend that we can clearly see. And are we going to end up with a cashless society? And that, indeed, was one of the questions that I posed when I spoke with Keelan Lennon. Now, he's the founder and CEO of an Irish company called Clever Cards. It's a digital payments platform. They have many customers here in Donegal. They have prepaid digital MasterCards. And, you know, chatting to him, he actually hasn't had a wallet with money in it since November 2019. Now, that's quite an extreme case. But during my discussion with him, you know, he's well placed to talk about the whole fintech sector and the shift towards not just people having credit cards and debit cards and the plastic, but it's just having it on your phone, swiping the phone. And he makes also the point, you know, demographically, we think maybe older people aren't going to do this as much, but you may not have to remember your password or your PIN like you would before with a card, putting it in manually when you're going up with your phone. And he talks about his mother learning the hard way when she didn't have her boarding pass for a Ryanair flight. And was it a case of paying €60 in the airport for a printout or suddenly finding out how to get the boarding pass onto a phone? And that's one way I'd say a few people have learned. But
and for 60 quid, I'm sure she found it on the phone fairly sharpish.
So an interesting character. His company have done very well. And he was my second guest, and we can hear from him now.
He said, it's not all that bad. He said, when people now pay with their cards on the point of sale machine, on my point of sale machine, it says enter 1 for 10% tip, 2 for 15% or 3 for 25%. And he said, it's quite awkward and embarrassing when there's a 20 quid fare for someone to say, I'm not going to leave you a tip, where it was much easier to jump out of a cab when you had a 20 quid note and say, sorry, I have no I've not loose change. And he told me that his average tips now are between 11 and 12%, where they used to be much, much less. So it was, he's actually up money as a result of where it's all gone with digital, which was very, very interesting to hear.
Yeah, and one could assume that that could apply to many other types of businesses.
Oh, I think so, Chris. If you embrace it at a point of sale and, you know, ask somebody for a tip and you do provide a good service, I think it is the convenience, you know, factor. If you make it easy and convenient for them, I think you'll find that there's a greater amount paid.
And that there was very interesting, actually, Keelan Lennon, founder and CEO of Clever Cards. And I mean, yeah, I use the phone now, but I'm still nervous. I'm going to be honest. I have gone out with the phone and I've had a card in my pocket just as backup, just in case.
It's a little bit like maybe the electric car that, you know, you need that backup until you have the full confidence. And that clip there, that's all stemmed from when he was over in London one time and he got chatting to a cabbie, and sort of initially the cabbie had said, you know, I just wanted cash and was going to have all these declarations all going through and everything. And yet now the cabbie has found it, and he touched on there, you know, it was easier for people to tip with the phone. And one other just point, Donal Eddy, he also mentioned he was at a memorial service within the last month. And in the chapel, he said the basket went round at the end, and he said there was very little money in it. And he made the point, had there been a little scanner or device going out of the chapel, he would gladly have swiped his phone and put something in, but he had no cash on him.
Yeah.
That is something we will see, I suspect.
Well, I mean, I as you know, I'm involved in Relay for Life, and we, last year, beside the donation box, we had there's a big sort of donation sort of thing in the middle of the field. But we did have two committee members with scanners standing beside it last year. And it's becoming more and more the thing. And I have actually seen churches that actually have the little scanner on the side of the basket.
Yeah.
And it is becoming what we do more and more. I was in the States. I got an airport. I got an Uber from a cruise terminal to the airport in Newark in New Jersey late last year in October. And the whole transaction, including tip, was done via the phone on a tapper. And he just said, how many percent, you know, do you want to go 10, whatever, you know, I said, whatever percentage, bang, 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 boom, there you go. It's done. And it is certainly the future. Business Matters available, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But if people want to listen in the traditional way over the air, they can do so at the weekend.
Yes. After the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. And if you want to contact me, the email address is businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Chris Ashmore, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. Now is the time to realise your potential by enrolling on the part-time degree in business. Only 3 years with just one evening per week on campus. Open up your future by contacting the faculty office on 9186206 or visit atu.ie today.
Yes, before we go to our final guest, let's just take a look at one or two of your comments. And before we do that, confirmation, the golden egg has been found in Moville at the bookshelf, and it's been found by Caroline McCauley and Kevin McKeever. So Caroline and Kevin, congratulations, they found the golden egg at the bookshelf in Moville. So it was found. A very happy birthday to the ever wonderful Kathleen Cannon in Glasgow, not mentioning her age because she'll kill me, but lots of love from her niece Aisling in Edinburgh. So there's a real testament of what the internet can do. A person in Edinburgh sending a birthday request to a person in Glasgow via a radio station and online digital streaming service in Donegal. She couldn't bait it with a big stick. If you're looking for a night of laughter this weekend, check out Matches and Old Flames, the brand new Irish comedy play by playwright and broadcaster Tommy Maron. His previous plays include It's the Real McCoy, Three Hail Marys and Nobody's Talking to Me. It heads to Angrillan Theatre in Letterkenny on this coming Friday and Saturday night. And I know it's promising some 300 laughs in less than 2 hours, which is a hell of a laugh rate. But that's Tommy Maron, and his play is on, as we say, Friday and Saturday in Angrillan Theatre. Now, a serious issue to finish with, the provision of respite services for children and the fact that at this point in time, Donegal totally lacks one. It's an area that was explored at a meeting of the Western Regional Health Forum West yesterday. It was raised by Letterkenny-based councillor Jerry McMonagall. Jerry, good morning.
Good Good morning, Donal.
Jerry, in terms of the respite availability in Donegal, there are a number of respite beds available around the county, but no specific centres that caters to children and young people.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable, Donal, that that is the case. We have them in Mayo, Roscommon, Galway, but none in Donegal. And the respite centres we have here in Donegal, there's only 9 beds available at any one time, and they're shared between children and adults on alternative weeks. And this just isn't good enough, and it's an awful burden it's putting on the families with children with disabilities. But to make matters worse, there doesn't seem to be any plans in the near future to address this issue. So that's why I raised it at the Regional Health Forum meeting yesterday after having discussions with some of the parents of children with disabilities, and their sort of comments that there was a serious lack of respite available for their children and families.
And we know that there are some beds closed in the county at the moment, the Drumbaugh Respite House for Norner and Riverwalk in Carndonagh. We've discussed that with your party colleague Albert Doherty on numerous occasions over the past couple of years. They're both closed at present, and I suppose first and foremost, you know, you're going to have to be looking at trying to get those reopened, and then maybe looking at developing a dedicated centre, because there was a centre in Letterkenny some time ago, if I recall, but it scaled down, and eventually we heard of children actually being transferred right down the country, some going, if I recall correctly, some going as far away as County Meath.
Yeah, and this has happened as we speak. Families are having to take their children further down the country and travel because there isn't the beds available and the spaces available in County Donegal. And you're right, Drumbaugh House in Stranorder is now closed for respite use because there are 3 adults with disabilities who are homeless, and they're being catered for there. Carndonagh was similar, and now due to the recruitment embargo, they're having to wait for a derogation to be granted so that they can recruit staff to reopen it again now that it's become available. So in a sense, we have two units now left, Seaview House and Ballymacool House, and there's only 5 and 4 beds respectively in each of them. What we have in Ballymacool House in Letterkenny is a large site. I requested yesterday that the HSE would seriously consider extending that site and having that as a designated children's respite centre for all the children of Donegal. It's quite central, and they've taken that on board. It says, yes, that we could look at that, and it's something that they said that they are going to be looking at going forward. But at the minute, unfortunately, once again, for health services and respite services, children are going to have to travel out of Donegal.
And realistically, that sort of extension at Ballymacool House, I mean, we're not talking months, we're talking years before that can realistically become a functioning centre.
Yeah, and we can't overestimate the importance of respite for families and for the children, you know, to get away for a few days to allow families to regroup and re-energise their bodies and give children a place to go where they, you know, can be looked after really well.
And it's important you put that focus on. Yeah, it's important you put that focus on the families, because, I mean, we speak so often about the importance of mental health, and I've no doubt the lack of respite means families aren't getting that release, aren't getting that space which to relieve the pressure from. And I'm sure in some cases that's having an adverse impact on the mental health of parents and others.
Of course it is. And, you know, like, families still have to go out and work. There's other children in the home who are able-bodied and have to go about and get to school and be looked after. And, you know, and the stress and added stress that it brings on the family is just, you know, they need the respite. We need more respite beds. We need a dedicated children's respite centre in Donegal. And as I said yesterday about other services across the health service, it seems to be the ones in Donegal, the grand, they're used to travelling. You know, we have to go down the country all the time. You know, there's no paediatric sort of centres of excellence anywhere north of the Galway Dublin line. You know, cancer service, nothing, you know, diabetes, excellent centres, nothing ahead of the the Galway Dublin line. So all the time in Donegal, we seem to have to travel. And this is too big of a county for that to be allowed to continue to happen. So I'm going to be continuing to keep the pressure on HSE that we have a dedicated children's respite centre here in Donegal, and it's large enough and big enough for the be able to meet the growing needs that there is in this county.
And we will certainly continue to monitor that campaign. But for now, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. Thank you indeed to all our guests on the show today. Thanks especially to Donna Marie for producing, to Shannon, whose help was invaluable as well. Most importantly, thank you to you for listening. John Breslin is up next around the Northwest. But for me, Donal Kavanagh, have a very good day.